Hello, everyone, and welcome to CFB Unfiltered. I am Blaine Gilmer here with Donovan White and Josh Taylor. And guys, it is a jam-packed weekend of college football action. It seems like we're able to say that every week, but it's true. We have undefeated matchups between bitter rivals. We have a game down in Georgia and Florida that four quarterbacks could play. We don't even know who the quarterbacks are going to be. There is Oklahoma continuing the saga with Caleb Williams. It is endless action here, and we're going to break down all of it. A little SMU and Houston sprinkled in there.
Yeah.
We got a lot of stuff going on, Josh. It's just a great week for college football.
Yeah, honestly, any football is good football. This week, we talked about how this time of the year, we really see the true contenders rise up. And I think that big matchup with Michigan State is really going to tell us a lot of which one can actually hang with the big dogs and which one can fall out. Can Harbaugh finally get a big win? That's the big question. I can't wait to discuss that one. I know what Donovan's going to say.
Yeah, you got to be looking forward to that, Donovan. That's some big-time Big Ten football there.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Jim Harbaugh has disappointed. I mean, in his tenure at Michigan, you'd expect 5 or 6 years at a powerhouse program like the Wolverines have, you'd think they'd be at least par for par on course with some of the more elite teams in college football, and they're not. So let's see if he can right the ship and get the record against Michigan State 4-3. I doubt it, but, you know, we'll get into that a little later.
Josh, there's absolutely no Ohio State just disdain in Donovan's voice when he talks about Michigan. Not at all.
No none bias at all.
I'm objective. I'm
just as like objective me and Auburn. As it can be.
Yeah. Just like Josh with the Iron Bowl, you know.
LSU, Florida.
Who knows? I mean, that's the way it is. But, guys, one thing, you know, when you're talking about college football action, you can just bet that as the fall goes on, it's going to get better and better. And speaking of betting, that's something that we like to touch on here with our over-unders and the spreads and all those kind of things. And if you want to put some action on college football this weekend or throughout the season, then make sure you're doing it with Bet Online, guys, because Bet Online has a new web interface, and it's also the start of basketball season. They have more props, odds, and contests for you to enter into. Bet Online is the number one spot for all your basketball and football action this season. So just head over to the new updated desktop or mobile website and sign up today. Take advantage and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code BELIEVE50, that's BLEAV50, to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, baseball postseason, hashtag Braves in the World Series, NHL, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Bet Online, it's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet Online, where the game starts. So, you know, when we're talking, guys, about these bets, that's something that we include in our big three every week, guys. Just so you know, our big three, if you're first time here on the show, we give three sets of three things where we do a headline, we do a best bet, and then we talk about some playoff implications and a game that's coming up. So without further ado, let's go ahead and hit our first set of the big three this week.
Big three.
Josh, right off the bat here, I know that, you know, this is going to sting for you a little bit because you got that if you're watching on the 365 Sports YouTube channel, you can see that hideous Crimson Tide flag hanging there over Josh's shoulder. But Josh, the headline that we've come up with this week, our first headline of the week, and these headlines, guys, are, just so you know, our future headlines that we think are going to be in papers and on websites after this weekend comes to pass. The first one is Bo Nix, guys. Bo Nix being, you know, having his draft stock increase after a career day versus Ole Miss. I break this game down with Tavarius King on my Second to None podcast, also on the Bleed Podcast Network. But guys, just talk, you know, what do you think? Bo Nix, big day versus the Rebels, huh?
I see. Well, honestly, a lot of people have big days against the Rebels just because that defense isn't all the way there, especially in the passing game. But I have to say, this Bo Nix that we've seen this season has been one of the more impressive Bo Nix. You know, he's done some interceptions in big moments, you know, throughout his career at Auburn. You see him get benched, then he comes back, has his best game against LSU, just showing that grit, that aggressiveness, that leadership, saying, like, guys, I'm going to, you know, come back from adversity. So this is another good moment here, big stage against Ole Miss with some, you know, kind of weird betting odds I was looking at, by the way. But just a good moment against a big team that gets a lot of national attention for Bo Nix to show what he can do with his feet. And then also that little bit of magic and in the passing game as well.
Donovan, you saw him against Penn State. You know, Bo didn't necessarily kill him in that game. It was some other things that happened, but, you know, he could end up having a big one here against the Rebels.
Yeah, he's a gamer, right? I mean, he takes, you know, shots on the shoulder and he shrugs them off, right? Not to say he comes back and plays as the best quarterback in the country, right? But in a weak kind of draft class for quarterbacks, he can show it. I mean, we know how SEC defenses are other than Georgia. It seems as though they're pretty weak, right, Josh and Bland? The rest of the SEC defenses are pretty weak. So, I mean, you know, Bo Nix seems like he's got a good opportunity. Oh, yeah, Kentucky and Georgia. Listen, Bo Nix is a fighter. I love him as a player. I think he's got a good shot against Ole Miss to kind of, you know, implant his legacy even more in the past few years of college football in Auburn.
Yeah, we definitely don't want to be talking about, you know, weak defenses when Ohio State is the main team you're pulling for.
Number two in overall scoring defense the past 4 weeks.
Oh, CJ Verdell just scored hurt.
Against the school of the Sisters of the Poor in the Big Ten. So we'll see. Best bet for our first good best one. Bet of the week. Josh, go ahead and tell everybody what they can expect in our first best bet.
Expect a lot of Graham Mertz interceptions. That's pretty much how I see it. I see an Iowa team that's defense has been dominant all season long, +3.5. And we've been talking about, like, the home field advantage. You know, we got the jump around Wisconsin. I don't feel anything from it. Like, to me, I think Iowa's too good to be, you know, 0.35 in this game. I'm kind of confused by it. We haven't seen enough Graham Mertz to say, like, oh yeah, he can overcome that good passing defense. I'm expecting this to be one of those Iowa games where it's 3-4 interceptions. And Petras does enough to move the ball against a really good Wisconsin defense. I mean, if you remember that Penn State Wisconsin game, we thought it was going to be like that all season long from both defenses, but I think Iowa just does enough and just creates too many turnovers, and that's just too many points for me. That little 0.5 after the 3 is what really gets me going for that bet.
No doubt. You got a great defense over there, and Wisconsin has just proven to be lackluster on offense. And, Donovan, when we come back out of this little transition here, we're going to have you talking that game of the week, Michigan and Michigan State. So here it is, the first time we're talking about playoff implications, Michigan taking on the Michigan State Spartans.
Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Absolutely, Donovan. So this game has major playoff implications. Go ahead and give us your thoughts on Jim Harbaugh and that team that you said has underperformed for years in big games going to face Mel Tucker in East Lansing.
You know, listen, some have said that this game is really to decide who's going to go play in the Rose Bowl for the Big Ten. Some have disagreed. I agree. I agree as the resident Buckeye fan here. But listen, you've got a game in which you got two teams that have kind of been underrated by national media. I understand they're number six. They're both top 10, right? We get that. But they're kind of underrated. It's kind of seeing what are these teams really about, right? Michigan, I've had my quarrels with them with their passing game and their offense, right? Michigan State, a lot of people are saying, you need to show me a little bit more, right? Well, they're home now. It's time that you show me a little more. Both these teams have great rushing attacks, right? Kenneth Walker, we've talked about plenty of times on this show, might be the best running back in the country. Michigan's got an electric duo and a potent offensive line and rushing attack. I'm excited to see which team kind of steps up in this game. Michigan, I think, has a lot more to prove, right? Just because they've been it's the same program, right? That they've been the past 5-6 years with Harbaugh. Michigan State, they're kind of revamping their culture and their team with their new coach, you know, Mel Tucker, relatively new compared to Harbaugh. I'm curious to see which team steps to the plate, and we'll get to our predictions at the end of the preview.
Josh?
to me, this is which team can move the ball on both sides. And I've seen, you know, Thorne from Michigan State say, hey, I can throw the ball when I have two really good wide receivers with Reed and Naylor. And I just don't see that with Michigan. And I think that's what's really going to hinder this game. I think Michigan State can stop the run of Michigan to an extent. Like, I think Michigan has a phenomenal run game. But they're going to test Michigan to be like, hey, what is it, bad?
No. I'm shocked. You're saying they're going to stop the run.
Oh,
I think
they're going to do enough. Like, we talk about Mel Tucker being that defensive guy. People have talked kind of bad about Michigan State's defense, but it's slowly been getting better throughout the whole season. They know what to expect. They know McNamara cannot throw the ball. I think he's only got like 1,100 yards this season. They're going to force him. Yeah. They're going to say, hey, we know what you're going to do. We want you to prove us wrong. So I think Michigan State is going to test them. They're at home, like you said. It's going to be electric there. Kenneth Walker III is going to pop off this game. This is his Heisman game. This is his moment. He is my official vote. I don't care what happens the rest of the season. Kenneth Walker III wins the Heisman this Saturday at noon, which is still weird. I hate that game being so early. I remember like the punt block game and everything being so late. The fake field goal back in the day. Like, these games should be at night, right?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, but when you know, I was making that face when you're talking about that defense, because I'm not real confident. Even though Mel Tucker's a defensive guy, and he was defensive coordinator under Kirby Smart, you know, at Georgia, it's just they've struggled, you know, this year at times. Nebraska running the ball on them for 188 yards, and Nebraska has nowhere near the rushing attack that Michigan does. Of course, Indiana last week. 134 yards rushing, almost 4 yards a carry. If John Harbaugh with Corum and Haskins over there is able to get 4 yards a carry in this game, he'll do it. I mean, he'll just take it and take it and take it, and then finally hit some shots with McNamara over the top. You know, be able to go after that. I think that Michigan is just physically tougher than Michigan State right now. I think that up front, that Michigan offensive line is going to do enough to allow them to, you know, control the tempo of this game, control the style of play, and keep Kenneth Walker off the field. You know, I think that's a big thing, you know, because they Michigan State, really, they've been more explosive offensively this year than they have in terms of, you know, people thinking they might be a more defensive-minded team with a guy like Mel Tucker as their head coach. So I'm going to take Michigan in this game. I'm going to go ahead and throw my prediction out there. I think this game is one that possessions are limited because both teams are going to try to run the football and things like that. I'm going to say some things happen maybe on special teams, bounce Michigan's way where they've bounced against Michigan in the past. I think all the demons are getting shaken out here by the Wolverines. So I'm going to take Michigan in a close one here. I'm going to take Michigan to cover and to win 27-21 on the road against Michigan State.
All right, I'll go next. I'm going to throw out some Jim Harbaugh stats because they're great from his time in Michigan. This just says job security, right? So Michigan is 18-4 straight up as road favorites under Harbaugh, which is good. They're road favorites this week, right? But against top 10 teams, Jim Harbaugh is 2-12 at Michigan. That is terrible. He cannot. I think he's 3-8 against Ohio State and Michigan. I mean, on Michigan State combined at his time at Michigan. So I just haven't seen a Jim Harbaugh say, hey, we can beat a Big Ten team on the road that's a top 10 team, because he hasn't done it. He's only done it twice. So I'm going Michigan State here. I'm going to say 28-24. Kenneth Walker pops off 150 yards, 2 touchdowns.
There you go, Donovan.
Yeah, watching that Michigan game against Northwestern last week, I understand. I think it was 30-37 was the final score. Yeah, they covered the spread, right? Jim Harbaugh knows what the spread is. He knows he's got a lot to prove. If you watch that game, I was watching that Michigan-Northwestern game. I'm like, oh, my God, like, Michigan is bad. Like, they can't throw the ball. Like, they have a high school JV passing offense. They're bad. They are bad at passing ball. That is nothing to take away from their O-line or run game. But they are bad at passing the ball. They're just dink and dunk offense. And maybe Michigan State's not the team that exposes them. I think they will be. I'm going to go Michigan State 27, and I'm going to go Michigan 20.
There we go. So we've got 2-1 there on our first game preview. Now we'll get into our second set of the big three. No need for the transition here. We're going to roll right into it and go into the second set of our big three. And our headline there is, Ellen, this is one I've been telling for a couple weeks that I'm
hyping it up.
I think people need to be ready for. That would be a team that is kind of getting to play second fiddle over there in the AAC behind Cincinnati. And the headline reads, SMU sends a message to Cincinnati. Be ready, because they are going to face a good Houston team on the road. BetOnline has it as a pick 'em game right now. Absolutely no advantage to either side. So really, when SMU's on the road, that's really saying they may be a 3-point favorite, because you typically get 2-3 points for home field advantage going towards Houston. So a pick 'em game. And I think SMU with Tanner Mordecai and those guys have a lot to prove. We're going to get to that preview here in just a second. But before we do, Josh, go ahead and tell them what our second best bet of the week is.
Yeah, this is ACC offensive showdown. We've got Clemson versus Florida State. We said under 47. I think Florida State, they're hit or miss. They either, beat North Carolina like they should, or they lose to Jacksonville State. So for me, I'm really looking at this as Clemson's defense being able to just completely shut down Florida State. But then also Clemson's offense is just that bad and that boring. Like DJ Uiagalelei got benched last week. We don't know what to expect.
Pharmaceutical Tech came in.
Yeah, Pharmaceutical Tech came in. Had a couple steps.
We still can't pronounce his last name, so and we're not going to learn it. We just learned to Uiagalelei over here, so Pharmaceutical Tech is the name of the Clemson quarterback.
Yeah, maybe DJ calls up Dr. Pepper and really hits that transfer portal. I don't know. That's going to be interesting to watch. But there's just too many questions at quarterback, and then the offense for Clemson not showing up. There's no way they lose to Florida State, right? Like, there's no way. But I also don't see Clemson scoring over, 23, because I don't think they've even done it this year. If they did, it's, 21, 22. So I'm looking at it as, a 27, 17 game, 27-14 kind of game going Clemson's way. So 47 is just too many points for me.
And Donovan, circling back to SMU at Houston, that is our second game preview here in our second set of the big three. You got number 19 SMU going to Houston, like we said. Donovan, what's your initial thoughts on this matchup?
Well, I think obviously Tanner Mordecai is a stud, right? I mean, he's got 2,300 yards, 71% completion rate, 29 touchdowns and only 7 picks. He's a stud, right? And he does it with his legs, does it with his arm. The thing I have noticed, I watched a little bit of SMU's offensive line and their run game, is that they don't really run the ball in the traditional way, as much as you see, right? Because Tanner Mordecai has that ability. But they do have the ability to just open up the run game. That offensive line in the run game, and I'll get to the pass game in a second, they've got the technique, they got the fundamentals to kind of balance out if Tanner Mordecai is pressured, which Houston has to be able to do in order to win this game, is get pressure. Because some of those guys for the SMU offensive line, Tanner Mordecai has only been sacked twice. You can see that they are waiting to get exposed. Those tackles, they got some short sets too much. It's just because Tanner Mordecai is that good of a player, right? And he's playing at such a high level right now. He knows the offense. He knows his players around him. Houston defense has to apply pressure, because they have opportunities. Even though the stats don't suggest it, they have opportunities against that SMU offensive line.
No doubt, Josh.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about Mordecai a little bit. He's his name comes up in the draft community also. I remember just a really good offensive unit led by Shane Buechel last year, who I thought was going to be a good guy in the draft too. He went undrafted to the Chiefs, has kind of got released. But still, it's impressive how they have a lot of weapons come back, and then Mordecai just comes in. It's a smooth transition. They kind of expect a little bit of a slouch in production, and it really hasn't been there. You have weapons all over the place for SMU. You have Danny Gray, who has 38 catches, 609 yards, and 7 touchdowns with a 16 yards per catch average. He's they're one of their top deep threats. Then you got Rashee Rice, 35 catches, 415 yards, 6 touchdowns, and Reggie Robertson, 30 catches, 408 yards, and 5 touchdowns. So it's just an even playing field throughout. All of his weapons are eaten. And then he also has another guy that transferred from Oklahoma with them. Their tight end, what was his name?
Grant Calcaterra.
Yeah. So he's got some chemistry going on there, but then he also has some weapons all across the field. It's not like he's just targeting one guy every single play. So it's going to keep Houston on their heels, but Houston's defense is really good. And I think that's something that can make a big difference and why the betting odds of this game is the way it is.
Yeah, and you mentioned it. One reason I like SMU is because Garrett Riley, who is Lincoln Riley's brother, is the offensive coordinator at SMU. He is going to scheme up, you know, a lot of guys and get the ball into his playmakers' hands. And you see that when you see, you know, three guys, like you said, with Robertson Jr., with Rice, with Gray, all above 30 catches. Then there's Calcaterra there who came, like you said, with Mordecai from Oklahoma. So they go from one Riley to another, right? So the younger brother's stealing from Smart. His older brother. But, hey, you know, he wasn't going to play there with Spencer Rattler and Caleb Williams. After what Spencer Rattler did early on, he may have called his brother and said, hey, why'd you steal the best quarterback on my roster? Because Tanner Mordecai, now Caleb Williams is playing good now, of course, but you know, the way Mordecai is playing, I think anybody in the country would like to have a quarterback like that on their roster. He's been very, 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 very steady. Like I said, 71% completion rate and, you know, 29-7 touchdown to interception ratio. And I think on the flip side of that, you got Houston, who is, they can't run the ball and they're very one dimensional when it comes to the passing game, because the lion's share of their targets goes towards Nathaniel Dell, right? He has 39 receptions on the year with 510 yards. Their next leading receiver, Christian Trahan, 23 catches for 261 yards. So
that's not going to get it done.
It's a much different disparity there. And I think a SMU coach team, right, will take away Dell, that main target for Houston. And, you know, Clayton Tune may have some trouble finding those other guys, disrupt the rhythm. They have an inability to run the football. I like SMU to win this game. And I think that they're going to score points doing it as they always do. I'm going to take SMU to win this game on the road. Tight one. I'm going to take them to win 35-31.
Okay. The thing I'm looking at for this game is I think people are really betting on Houston's defense to show up. Donovan, you mentioned Mordecai's only been sacked twice this season. He might be sacked twice this game because Houston has 28 total sacks on the season, mostly by that defensive line just coming at him all game long. But still, I think he's too good to, you know, let a defense like that stop him all game long. So I'm going with SMU on this one also. I'm going to say 31-24 SMU.
Yeah, Josh, pretty close to mine. I have SMU winning 31-23 only because I don't trust Houston's offense, right, to keep up pace with SMU if they get rolling. I understand Houston's defense is good, right, but SMU's offense is fast, right? They're electric. Got a great quarterback playing right now and just elevating the rest of their team. I don't see Houston being able to keep up with that, and I don't see Houston's defense being able to hold back SMU's offense for very long.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, so we're all taking SMU here in this contest, even though we differed on the first one with Michigan and Michigan State. And now it's time to get to our third set of the Big Three, working our way right through the show here. And Donovan, you'll like this headline. You may like it, and then part of you may hate it at the same time because of the implications of what it takes. But what it takes into account, the headline that'll read after this one is CJ Stroud's performance has a lasting impact. This is twofold, ladies and gentlemen, because there are rumors circulating out there on the World Wide Web that Quinn Ewers is about to hit the transfer portal. He is regretting his decision to go play for Ohio State and could end up back where he originally committed at Texas. Why would this have a lasting impact? Well, Quinn Ewers is a very, very, very good quarterback that many expect to be Patrick Mahomes-esque when he does get on the field.
Hair and all, yeah.
And if he's at Texas and he's that good, does that make one Arch Manning decide not to go to Texas to put himself in that position? And that helps teams like Georgia, like Ole Miss, and Alabama with their shot. He's visiting Clemson this week, but I think things have died off with Clemson with their just terrible performance this year. But Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss could greatly benefit from C.J. Stroud just continuing to dominate if he just blows up Penn State and Quinn Ewers hits the portal. So, Donovan, just as an Ohio State guy, your thoughts on all that?
Well, I think it's awesome to, you know, to think about other teams or have to think about the future, you know, 2-3 years from now and worry about that. You know, Ohio State, we're focused on now. I mean, I guess Georgia and Alabama and Texas are focused about what, you know, 18-year-old freshmen.
Hey, we're reloading. That's it.
Listen, I saw some of those quote unquote rumors that were going out there. I don't disagree. It's been in the back of my head, right? The thought has been in the back of my head is what happens with Quinn Ewers? It's been like that beginning of the season. What happens if Stroud balls out, which he's starting to do now? That being said, those rumors started from Michigan fan boards, right? I saw a picture. It was Quinn Ewers. One thing on Twitter that kind of popped off was, you know, Quinn Ewers deleted all of the references to Ohio State football on his Twitter page. And I saw that picture and I'm like, oh man. And then I went to his actual Twitter page and it still says at Ohio State football. So I'm going to take it with a grain of salt, but I'll say this, that thought has creeped in my head. And it creeped in my head right from the jump when he said he was going to skip his senior season of high school.
Yeah. You think Justin Fields struggling in the NFL hurts him anyway? Like a quick little question, just because, you know, the Haskins and then Fields is like, nah, right now. Do you think that kind of hinders recruits also?
I think if Justin Fields went somewhere, I mean, sorry, any Bears fans out there, if he went somewhere other than Chicago that kind of had a little bit more support, like along, especially on the offensive line,
yeah.
Yes. But Chicago with Matt Nagy and their offensive line right now and their lack of support around him, I don't know if you can put it all on Justin Fields. Dwayne Haskins, I mean, we know Justin.
Oh, yeah, Washington was a great place.
I'll just tell you this, and a lot of people have a lot of different thoughts about it. The reason Justin Fields did not play over Jake Fromm at Georgia was because from all indication is that he did not do a great job at reading defenses and was not a outstanding quarterback from the pocket. We know that he went to a system that was very conducive to what his style of play at Ohio State. I don't know that Justin Fields will be that successful in the NFL, period. It doesn't matter what team he's on. So, you know, we'll see. But best bet right here, number three, Josh, we got the Baylor Bears -2.5 versus Texas. What do you like about Baylor getting 2.5?
I like Baylor's defense, and Texas has shown that they're going to let any offense score points on them. And it's at Baylor, so we'll talk about that home field advantage. You know, we've been saying it all season long. So I'm going with Baylor on the points this one. I think they just outscore him. Bijan Robinson's going to do what he does. But I just haven't seen enough from that pass game to be like, yep, Texas is going to be able to put up points to keep up with Baylor, who's going to hang, I'm going to say, like close to 38, 35, or, you know, in that 40 range on Texas. That's what I'm predicting. I think this would be like a 38, 31 kind of game for Baylor.
There you go. So that's our third best bet, and that leads us into sticking in the Big 12. We have our third preview with playoff implications, as always, Oklahoma versus Texas Tech. And it has playoff implications because Oklahoma, number four team in the country. Right now, you would have to think they would get the nod to get a CFP place if the CFP committee was meeting today. And with the Caleb Williams and the way they're playing, great stuff here. So give us, Josh, what's the line on this game with Oklahoma and Texas Tech, over, under, all that kind of stuff?
So the spread on this one, 19.5 points for Oklahoma, and the over-under is at 67. I like that over-under just because we've seen that both defenses are terrible. Texas put, like, what, 60 on Texas Tech, and then Oklahoma showing every single week that they're going to let teams like Kansas drop a good bit of points on them. So I would go over 67. I don't know about 19.5 for Oklahoma, even though Texas Tech has been terrible all season long. I just can't trust the Oklahoma team with the spread. I've done it twice this season, and I've lost both. So I'm leaning the over just because it's Big 12 defense.
Donovan?
Yeah, I think this game has the feel kind of with Oklahoma and TCU a few weeks ago, where I think it was like 52-31, 51-30, something along those lines. You know, this is a big game for Oklahoma because this is your last chance before the committee has their first rankings come out on Tuesday, right? And to show the committee and to show the college football world, like I mentioned last week, I think Oklahoma's of those, you know, top six, seven teams, they're the most mentally fragile of all of them, right? This is your chance to say, hey, we're not the team that we played against the Kansas Jayhawks, right? No offense to the, you know, Kansas players or fans listening, but you're Kansas, right? You're pretty bad. I don't care what you do against Oklahoma. It's a chance for the Sooners to show that they're not that team, because if you don't do it now, right, you're hanging on by a thread each week. And again, once once those committee rankings come out, the players, the coaches, the fans start to think about that. Now it's not so much the AP. The AP votes and the rankings don't matter anymore. The committee rankings, you know, you have that coming every week, and there's that extra pressure of, man, where are we going to rank at? What does this mean for next week? Well, we just dropped the spot. What happens now? There's a lot of pressure on the Sooners, I think, to show out for this game.
Yeah, and you got a Texas Tech team who, you know, historically going all the way back to the Mike Leach days, is they're gonna air it out. They're gonna do all kind of different things, and they've got some guys to do that with. Josh, you got a guy and Eric Izukanma, which is not an easy last name to say. You know, I had to practice that one several times before the show. Eric Izukanma is 6'3", 220 pounds, has over 500 receiving yards on the season, 32 receptions. And then tied right there with him is Kalen Geiger with 32 receptions. So they've kind of got a two-headed monster there on the outside. And one thing we've seen about Oklahoma is they struggle to tackle in space, right? I think Oklahoma and Florida are two teams that should be good at defense that are just not good at tackling fundamentally. You had Steve Spurrier get a question in a press conference this week about Florida, saying, you know, what's part of the problem at Florida? Why are you guys struggling? He said, well, we don't tackle very well. So that's what he said.
Big problem.
Oklahoma, the same thing. I think that just tends to happen when you have an offensive-minded head coach, a guy like Lincoln Riley. You can say all you want about, you know, wanting to hire a great defensive coordinator, and he has an Alex Grinch there, but it always takes on a little bit of that personality of the head coach there, right? And you're an offensive guy, it kind of slides a little bit, you know, on the defensive side of the ball. So I'm not saying Oklahoma's going to lose this game. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and give my prediction here and my score. But I do like Texas Tech to cover this game just because I don't trust that defense to make enough plays to stop them. I think Caleb Williams, another big game. But people need to understand, too, Caleb Williams showed some, you know, obviously had some heroics there against Kansas. But I don't think that Texas Tech's defense is going to be as poor tackling as Kansas's was there at the end of that game. Some of those runs that he made and the one that he made for the touchdown to kind of seal it, just terrible tackling over there. And I'm going to take Oklahoma to win this game, but not cover the spread. Take Oklahoma 48, Texas Tech 35.
Okay. I'll say Texas Tech's defense allows an average of 30.6 points per game. So I'm saying bet that over all day long, because it's going to be like a 48-35 kind of game. I kind of agree. I feel like this is a game that Texas Tech can cover, and it's because of Izukanma. He's another wide receiver in the draft a lot of guys are talking about. He can do it all. They put him anywhere on the field, and they also use him in the run game, do some in rounds and stuff like that. So they just need to get the ball in his hands as much as possible. You know, your starting quarterback going down, he's out till November. Columbia is the backup. Hasn't looked too good. He's had some turnover. He's kind of just playing like a conservative role right now. So they have to get the offense going. And, hey, what a better defense.
Only 8.2 air yards per attempt for Columbia. So they're not pushing the ball down the field with him as of yet.
This week.
They'll test that Oklahoma secondary for sure. So what's your score again?
I'm going to say, I think this is like a 48-35 is what I'm going to go with.
We did the exact same score there. So is that same score for Oklahoma. We're both 48-35 Oklahoma.
It's got to happen then.
Donovan, what about you?
Yeah, I'm going Oklahoma too. I think it's another one of those games where they kind of have a bounce back game after Kansas last week, but like more of a bounce back on offense game. So I'm going to go 45-28. Oklahoma, again, Texas Tech to cover, but it's a bounce back game, but you still look at the Oklahoma defense and you're like, oh man, like I get it's Texas Tech, you know, that kind of air raid offense, but 28
Michael
points, like
you're
Oklahoma. No, it's like you're Oklahoma, come on. So it's like a little bit of a bounce back game, but a little bit like, yeah, about the same as what we expected.
Absolutely. So there we have it, guys. Those are our that's our third set of big three, and we want to end you with some rapid fire picks here. So I'm going to go ahead and turn on a little music here. We're going to go rapid fire, and we're going to give you some of our picks this week. So Donovan, Ohio State, Penn State. Not that you're biased or anything.
No, of course
not.
What
do you think about Ohio State going to Penn State?
Penn State's rolling off the freeway real quick in this race called College Football 2021. Ohio State's going to dominate this game. Passionate about this game, so I'll give my score. I'm going to go Ohio State 45, Penn State 21.
Okay. Josh, who do you like, Ohio State, Penn State?
Yeah, Penn State, they looked so good to start the season. Now they're kind of reeling back. I'm going to say Ohio State 31, Penn State 20.
Okay, I'm going to say Ohio State. I'm not even going to throw a score out. I'm just going to say it's be big. Ohio State's going to beat the hell out of Penn State after they total 38 points scored in 9 overtimes against Illinois. It's just not going to get it done. Georgia, same thing. Going to beat the absolute stew out of Florida on Saturday. Josh?
Yeah, Florida's going to try to run the ball, and they're not going to be able to run the ball because of that Georgia defensive line led by Davis, who was just an absolute stud. Like you said, Florida's probably going to play both quarterbacks this game, more than likely. So I'm going to go Georgia 27, Florida 13.
Good Lord. If Georgia only scores 27 points, there's going to be a problem. Donovan?
I'm going Georgia. I think they're going to dominate Florida, but I wouldn't be surprised if Florida gives Georgia a little bit of stress in this game.
Of course, you would say that. Ohio State person. Here we go. Ole Miss and Auburn. I've already told you I think Bo Nix is going to have a career game. That's part of one of our headlines in the Big Three. I like Auburn. I said on my other show, Auburn 31, Auburn 34, Ole Miss 31.
Auburn's favorites this game. It's like 3.5, right? Or something.
Yeah, and it's at home. It's at Jordan-Hare Stadium.
So, yeah, that really has to play into it. And Auburn's defense has looked really good this season compared to what I was expecting it to. I want to see Tank get going in that run game, though. I want to see them run the ball more. I think Ole Miss is a team you can do that against, so I hate to say it. But I think Auburn wins this one. I'm going to say 28-23.
Yeah, I don't see Auburn winning this game. I don't know. I don't know what it is about it. I think Ole Miss is winning. I trust Matt Corral too much. I think we learned a lot about Auburn even after Penn State's loss against Illinois. I'm going Ole Miss in this game. I'm going to go 31, Auburn 20.
No, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Every time I go against Auburn, they win. So my gut said go against them, so I did the opposite.
There we go. So Iowa goes to Wisconsin. We've already said it's one of our best bets, Iowa plus the 3.5. Mm-hmm. I think Iowa takes care of business this game with that experienced defense. Don't trust, Wisconsin. I'm going to say Iowa wins this game 24-17.
Iowa 31-13.
Yeah, I'm going Iowa, and I don't know if I want to take that over of 36. I don't think I've ever seen an over-under that low. Give me Iowa 21, Wisconsin 13.
Okay. No doubt. So then we got Kentucky at Mississippi State. I've got Kentucky winning this game 27-23. I trust, Will Levis, Darren Kennard, Wandale Robinson. I trust those guys. They're battle-tested against Georgia on the road. Playing at Mississippi State will not be as hard as playing in Athens.
I don't know. Them cowbells are loud. Mississippi State, once again, favorites kind of surprised me there against number 12 Kentucky. I agree with you, though. Kentucky, that defense, Will Levis is going to get frustrated trying to pass the ball way too much. I'm going to say 23-17 Kentucky.
Yeah, I'm with you, Josh. Those cowbells are loud. Played them in our first bowl game as a freshman, and they are loud and obnoxious. And I think it's going to be a difference maker. I think Mississippi State pulls the upset on Kentucky. Oh, no. They go the same score as Blaine, 27-23, but in favor of Mississippi State.
North Carolina at Notre Dame. I'm going to say Notre Dame wins because North Carolina's hot garbage.
They are as inconsistent as it gets. But I'm going to say North Carolina wins this one because I have to back my guy Sam Howell, who might be the featured quarterback for Washington. So I can't pick against him. And then he says, Josh, remember that one time you went against me and see him? So I'm going to go North Carolina. I think the passing game gets going this game.
Yeah, I think both teams are a mess. I don't think either one is very good. But Josh, I'm with you. I think North Carolina wins this game outright. I think Sam Howell steps up and it kind of shows how overrated Notre Dame is.
And then finally, I'm going to take the – absolute dumpster fire that Miami is to look that way against Heisman finalist, should be Heisman finalist, Kenny Pickett for the Pitt Panthers. I like Kenny Pickett. I think he's going to do great things at the next level. Give me Pitt big in this one, Josh.
Yeah, it's funny. We said if Pitt beats Clemson and Kenny Pickett looks good, he will be in the Heisman race. And guess who I saw at number four in a lot of polls this week? So Kenny Pickett, hype train's rolling. I have to go with him. I agree. Miami looked way better than I expected last week against NC State. I don't know what they were drinking out of the Kool-Aid over there, but still, I got to go Pitt at home. I'm going to say by 20.
Yeah, I'm going Pitt as well against Miami. I'd say about maybe like two scores, 14 or 17 points, right? Two or three scores.
I hear you. Well, guys, that is our rapid fire picks. We've hit all of our sets of big three, got all our previews in. So that is our show. Just enjoy a great weekend of college football. As always, our show here is presented by Bet Online. Thank you to 365 Sports YouTube channel of, you know, letting us use the platform over here. We enjoy being on. And guys, check out the people on Sideline Sports Network as well, at @sidelines_SN on Twitter. They'll help you out a lot. Our handle is @CFB Unfiltered. Make sure to hit a follow on that. Hit subscribe, turn on notifications, and find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, everywhere you listen to podcasts. For Donovan White and Josh Taylor, I am Blaine Gilmer, and we will see you on the next episode of CFB Unfiltered, which will be our reaction episode on Sunday Night Live. So you want to catch it, guys, and we will see you then.